While you're standing, let's turn. I got a little extra verse. Sometimes I'll add. Let's go ahead with the one I had first, since they have that back in the media room. Thank you for coming tonight. Thanks for all the music. I think Brother Maddox, is that you back there? Good to see you, my friend. Amen. As well as anybody else that's visiting with us tonight. John 15 and 7 is a very, very profound verse. It said, "If ye abide in me." Now just think about it. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He said, if you abide in me, you get whatever I got. Isn't that what a branch does with a tree? It gets whatever the tree gets, from the roots on up to the fruit. So he's saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it, somebody say it. It shall be done unto you. It shall be done unto you. I want to teach tonight from this thought. Take my word for it. Take my word for it. In the name of the Lord, I pray that you'd be, help us to understand this tonight. Help us to live out your word. For truly, God, we are epistles written and read and known of all men. Let them know, Lord, that we love you and that we appreciate everything you've done for us. We want to be a testimony of God's grace and mercy with everyone that we meet. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to read a little additional verse right here to go with this. I just kind of come up with in the prayer room. And Mary said, this is Mary, the virgin, the angel said, all this great stuff, you're going to be great, and you're going to, you know, all this wonderful, and name going to be Jesus, going to save his people, all this kind of thing. And she said, kind of hard to believe, you know, virgin, she said, I hadn't known anybody, it's not possible, Lord, but she said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. I'm going to do what you know what a handmaiden does? Whatever the master says. So if that's what you say, if that's your words, see, we go, oh, no, no, that's what Sarah did. Oh, no, no, it can't be. Oh, no, he said, you laughed. He said, don't you know I can do all things? And Mary said, not, as opposed to Sarah, said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according, be what unto me? It. Be it. According unto me, according to what? Thy what? Word. Take my word for it. And the angel departed from her. As soon as God realizes that you're going to take his word for it, then he can go away. He doesn't need to show you another sign. He doesn't need to prop you up. You don't need to pray about it anymore, because you're going to take his word for it. I want to emphasize the importance of taking God's word. I mean, so many times people say, well, I don't know if that was the voice of the Lord or not. Listen close. My sheep know my voice. That tells you something. If you're not sure it's God, you need to check yourself. My dog even knows my voice. And a stranger, he won't follow. I'll tell you right now, Buck ain't following nobody but Marshall Baggett. Just ask Mark. Nobody gets that squirrel out of his mouth but me. And he's glad to give it to me. My sheep don't wonder if it's me. My sheep don't need to fleece me to see if it's me. My sheep don't need to say, well, y'all pray for me. I don't know if I'm hearing from the Lord or not. It's the Lord or the devil. I don't. My sheep don't need to do that, because my sheep knows my voice. And a stranger? They're not going to follow. So to take someone's word at their word is to accept what they say without further verification or investigation. To take someone's word requires that you, if you take them at their word, it requires full trust, 100% trust, full faith, and all confidence in what they say without proof. Kind of sounds like faith to me. Kind of sounds like real faith to me. Abraham was considered the father of faith. Moses would have never made it. And I'm going to preach a lot more about Moses than Abraham. But Abraham was the father of faith because he acted on what God said without questioning it, without saying, Lord, I'm not sure, is that you or not? An idolatrous man, if you will, living in a household of idols, heard the voice of the Lord and didn't even question if that was God or not. And didn't even tell him where he was going to go. Just told him, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make your name great. And we read in Genesis 12 and 1, and now the Lord said unto Abraham, he did what he said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. This is strong stuff. I mean, just to leave your possessions behind and leave your country behind, leave your family behind. We'd go, Lord, are you sure that's you? He was sure. This is the father of faith. No proof, no sign, no, well, let me check with Joe down the street. Nothing. Just get up and go. And I will make thee. Now, if you'll just take me at my word. Now, if you want to sit there and fleece me and you want to do all these kind of things, well, by the time you do all that, you're not taking me at my word anymore. Do you understand that? By the time you get all these signs, you're not taking him at his word anymore. You're taking the sign. I will make thee a great nation, but you got to take me at my word. And I will bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Wow. When the Lord spoke to Abraham later, he said, take thy son, thine only son, and go to the mountain, I'll show you. The Bible says he arose early. This is the father of faith. No proof. Now, what I would probably say, if the Lord told me, now you go sacrifice your two kids, I'd say, well, Lord. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, and he departed. Man, people are retiring and settling down at 75. Right. And a lot earlier. Some people from the fire department settle down at 55. And then they don't even remember being at places sometimes. When he departed, I love Pickett, Brother Jake, I'm sorry. He's just an easy target, and he can take it too. And he departed out of Haran. Abraham obtained it by substituting God's word for it. Or do you understand what I'm trying to preach to you? We just say, oh, take my word for it. That's not how I'm saying it. Take my word for it. He got it by just substituting what God said for it. And he believed it. So if God said it, there's no questioning it. That's what it is. So we read about all these these heroes of faith in Hebrews and all these great people who had received a good report that pleased God. But here is the revelation of that now that I've got you on track with me. Hebrews 11 and 1, which we often quote, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by what? It. By the faith they had, the unquestionable, unfeigned faith that they had, without saying, God, show me a sign and I'll believe you, they didn't need a sign, they just believed it. And they got it because they believed it. They obtained you want a good report from God? Take him at his word. 12 spies went across Jordan River at the request of Moses and the Lord to go spy out the land. And here's the shocking part. All 12 came back with the same report. They all had the same report about the land. It is a land that the Lord said it was. Here's the grapes. Here's the proof of the promise. It's everything God said it would be. 10 of them said, but 2 of them said, let's take God at his word. It is what he says it is. And he said he would deliver them into our hands. Let's go with that. But the others got to say, no, well, I don't know. You see how big those guys are. And they talked themselves out of it. Faith belongs to those. Rewards belong to those. The promises of God, the real promises of God, belong to those who will take God at his word. Moses was a great leader, and I admire Moses, and he's in that book of Hebrews as being a hero of faith. But I want to tell you, Moses didn't get to the promised land. He did have great faith, but he didn't get to the promised land. He required too many signs to get there. Moses started out by having an experience with a burning bush. No voice first, burning bush first. Sign first. Burning bush. See, he turned about to see why the bush was not consumed. And then the Lord spoke to him. If the Lord had spoke to him first, he may have ran. But he got the sign first because he looked and said, that thing ought to be burned up by now. I'm going to go see why it's not burned. I've never seen anything like this before in all my life. And out of that burning bush that was not consumed, the Lord begins to speak to him. So he goes from the burning bush experience to the rod experience. Moses will go from experience to experience, but every one of them seems to have a sign attached to it. And watch closely. Exodus 4 and 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. So out of the burning bush, we're just going to go from one thing to another. Out of the burning bush, he hears a voice. You would think, Lord, I'm going to believe that. If the Lord told me to say that, that bush can talk, I'm going to believe it. But he didn't. He said, Lord, they won't believe me. These people you got, they're not going to believe that I've experienced this. I mean, you got to realize he was running for his life, right? He just come out and killed a man, and now he's like, Lord, these people, they look at me like I'm funny. You know, I'm a fugitive to them. They're not going to believe me. Nor will they hearken. Now listen close. Nor will they hearken to my voice. I would hope to get to the place in God that you could believe when I say something, that's the voice of the Lord. I would hope that I could get to that place that you would believe me, believe that. I don't know if we'll ever get there because maybe I won't get there and maybe I get there and you don't get there. It takes a lot for all of us to get there. But he said, Lord, they're not going to listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're not going to believe the burning bush. And the Lord said unto him, well, okay, let's start. Let's do this again. Let's just do this again. What's in your hand? He said, well, it's a rod. It's, you know, he was tended to his father-in-law's sheep. It's a staff. And he said, well, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent, a snake. And Moses fled from before it. He ran from the sign that God was trying to give him. Oh, my. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. You want to get bit? Take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. Didn't say touched it. He caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. It just stiffened up and back to that rod. Wow. That they may believe, became snake, rod. Now, we're going to do this again because I want them to believe your voice. Listen to where I'm going with this. I want to get to the place where they'll listen to your voice because you're listening to my voice. That's what real leadership is about. That they may believe that the Lord God of your fathers and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto you. So for me to get you to believe me tonight, if I had a stick and I throw it down and it turned into a serpent, I picked it back up, then you'd start believing on me. But will you believe me at my voice? Or do we need a sign? See, we need a sign, right? That's what we need. We need a sign. Because I remember the time he said, you see, we'll go back. So now Moses finds himself doubting that the people will believe him just as he doubted he could do it himself. I can't do this. He doubts that he can do it. He doubts that they will believe him. So he's telling God, they won't believe my word. Even though I've cast this serpent down, they're not going to believe me. I'm going to need somebody to talk for me. And he ends up getting Aaron to be his spokesman. But because he did not take God at his word, after God gave him a sign, amen, God was not happy with him. Many times God gives you what you ask for, but he's not happy with you. He wasn't happy with Gideon and all this back and forth stuff. The Lord told Gideon in the very beginning, I'm with you, pal. You're a mighty man of valor. You're going to smite the Midianites as one man. Oh, but Lord, God is not happy with that. He wants you to take him at his word. And so Moses gets Aaron to help him speak to the people because he can't speak real well. Sometimes I feel like I need somebody to speak for me, but this is what the Lord gave me to do. So Moses and Aaron, now they go into the presence of Pharaoh to ask him to let God's people go. So now they bowed up, and now they're going to go together, got my rod now, and you're going to talk for me, right? You're going to talk? Yeah, I'll do the talking. You just get us there. I'll do the talking. And now they got a plan how they're going to tell old Pharaoh what to do. And here they are, Exodus 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, shew a miracle for you. In other words, let me see a sign. That's what they told Jesus, too. We'd see a sign of thee, Master. He said, you'll see no sign except that of the prophet Jonas. As he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. What he's saying, by the time you see the sign, it's too late. I'm already risen. And sometimes by the time you see the sign, you've already trampled on his word. He said, but he's a heathen. He doesn't believe in me. But I want him to believe in you and the God you serve. So show him a miracle. Then shalt thou say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And we know the story, how he cast that rod down, and the serpent, the rod became the serpent. And then all the magicians came out there, and they all cast their rods down, and their rods became serpents. And then Aaron's rod swallowed their serpents, and then Aaron picked up his rod, his serpent, and it became a rod. Now all of their serpents is in his rod. He's got them all swallowed up, and it become a stick again. That's a pretty good sign. I would probably let him go on that, but he didn't. And so the Lord instructs Moses about this rod. See, now we're dependent on the rod. Now we're dependent on the sign. And not the God of the sign. Lord, show me another sign so I can be sure that I'm sure that I'm sure. So the Lord continues to bless Moses by using this rod. But he's using it, now listen close, in the sight of the people, in the sight of Pharaoh, to make them believe, which he does, has power with God. So that's why they're doing this. To make him believe, I'm God's man and I'm God's voice. Let them go. It didn't work for a long time. And so Moses, every time he stretched out the rod, the river turned to blood. He stretched out the rod and the dust turned to mites or lice. He stretched out the rod and there were frogs. He stretched out the rod and hell fire came down and ran upon the ground. It was the rod. It was more the rod than it was Moses. It was becoming the rod. Rather than Moses and the Lord and the voice of the Lord, it was becoming the rod. Every time he held up the rod, it was Moses had to hold up his hands. He got to hold up something. We got to have a sign or we don't believe. And finally, they get to the place where it's do or die. Now he let us go, and we get to the Red Sea. And all of those who's dependent on the rod are murmuring, complaining about Moses. You know, did you bring that rod? And Moses goes to the Lord and said, Lord, what do I do? I don't know what to do, man. They're coming against me. And he said, use the rod. Use the rod like you always have. I told you I was going to bring you across there, but use the rod. Now watch, I'm trying to teach you something. He's building them up to believe that Moses has relationship with God. So he takes the rod and he holds the rod out over the Red Sea. And once again, in the child book stories, you see it part. That's not what happened. He held it out over the sea and went back to his tent with the rod. And the winds began to blow and they blew all night. Okay? And the next morning, the Red Sea was parted hither and thither. Okay? But without the rod, didn't happen. So we're dependent now on the rod. We need the rod. Yeah, we got to have the rod. Moses is good, but without that rod, he ain't nothing. He's just like the rest of us without that rod. So they get across they're dancing. Hey, the Lord, hallelujah. The Lord delivered us over our enemies. Look, they all drowned. We'll never see them again. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. And they turned around and said, you thirsty? I'm thirsty. Hey, Moses, where's that Gatorade? What do we got to drink out here? He said, drink? Drink? We got gold. We got silver, but we ain't got nothing to drink. You talk to people recently, you know what they want? They don't want silver and gold. Drink. Water. Give me some water. And they got to the place where they were parched. Huh. Well, let's go there. You ready? Let's go to Exodus 17 and 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide. They argued. They strived with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? You open the Red Sea and you can't provide water for us? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. You got me out here. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Now watch close. Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of the Israel. And don't forget that rod. But it's a little different this time. It's a little different. Because he said, I want you to do this before the people. Pharaoh's gone, okay? Before the people. And all these elders, I want to show the elders something. And bring that rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. So don't substitute any rod. Use that same one that you used to cross the Red Sea and all the plagues. And I want to tell you in advance that what's happening here is the Lord is setting up a transition, trying to wean them off of the rod. If you always got to have a sign, you're never going to make it. At some point in your journey, you're going to have to take him at his word. So he's trying to wean them off. So he takes all the people, he takes the elders and gathers them together. Now watch close. In addition to that, this time he said, behold, I will stand before thee. I'm going to show them the relationship with I got with you. Because ultimately I want them to listen to your voice and quit have to use the rod. I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Hebrew, and thou shalt smite the rock, and shall water come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He wanted all the elders to see the Lord right here is with me. Because what he's wanting to ultimately do is says, without a rod, without any signs, without any miracles, take my word for it. That's the place we all got to get to. So now we go a little further down the journey. Let's go to Numbers 20 and 2. Same thing happens again, just a different place. Same song, second verse. Numbers 20 and 2. And there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron again. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died with our brethren, died before the Lord back there. I wish we had just died. And why have you brought up this congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? Same thing. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt and to bring us into this evil place? They're on their way to Canaan's land, a place that flows with milk and honey. And this is an evil place. Sometimes, folks, you got to go through something to get to the promises of God. It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranate, but where they're headed is. If they'll ever take God at his word. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, it's time to wean them off of the rod. I showed the elders and I showed everybody that I am with you. I stood upon the rock. That rock was Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Now, take the rod. Take the rod, go ahead and take it, and gather thou together with them. It's just like last time. Do you understand that? But we're going to do it different. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak, what? What? Speak ye unto the rock? You mean the rock's going to take your word for it? Speak to the rock before their eyes. Now, let me just before we stop right there. Had Moses just spoke to the rock and the water come out, we don't need the rod no more. We don't need the rod no more. That man, he's in tune with God. We don't need a sign anymore. Moses, you have a word for us. If you say there's going to be water, there's going to be water. Because we're going to take your word for it. So you got the rod, here it is, so you won't think I forgot it. But the Lord didn't instruct me to do anything but speak to the rock right before you, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. It's going to be a blessed thing, Moses. It's going to be so wonderful. They're going to believe in you. They're going to believe in me. And thou shalt give the congregation their beast drink. This is going to be great. And now when we get to the promised land, they're just going to take my word for it. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. He brought it with him just like the Lord said. And Moses and Aaron gathered together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. I thought he said to speak to the rock. Yeah. Hear now, you bunch of rebels. Must we fetch? Now, he's so sure this is going to work. Problem is, it did. Yeah. Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock once. And you know what I think? It wasn't a bam, bam. It was a once and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Hit it again. And the Lord opened it up. He opened it up. But at Moses' expense. My mind is always a bam, bam. No, it was a bam. It ain't working like last time. Bam, hit it again. Oh, there it is. There it is right there. Hey, you want me to get y'all some water? I'm running out of time, but I just got to tell you this, that never change God's plans. Never change God's plans. God, how many of you believe God's got a plan for you? How many of you believe the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? Sure you do. Don't pray against God's plans. Always end your prayer with, if God will. James said, don't even say, I will do this or that tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow may bring, he said. Just say, if God will. So whenever you pray, Lord, get my children out of there. No, if God will. If God will. Because let me tell you something. When they got to the point where the Lord was going to slay them at one time, he told Moses, he said, I am sick of this bunch of stubborn people. Back up, and I'm going to slay every one of them. And I will rise up to you another group of people that are better than them. And them you will take in. You will take in. Do you hear that? You will take them in. And Moses goes, wait a minute, Lord. Are you going to slay them so that the Egyptians will say he wasn't able to bring them into that promised land? You know, you're going to look bad doing that. And the Lord said, all right, Moses, I've changed my mind, but only partially. Rather than slaying them all at one time, I'll slay them one at a time. But they're still all going to die. It is the same people, Brother Valentine, that cost him his eternity. It is the same people he took up for. How many can say the people I helped the most hurt me the most? Yeah. It's the same people that he saved now calls them rebels, and he goes against what God, and they cost him the promised land. Had he not changed God's mind, he would have went in with a different bunch of people. So I pray, Lord, all them stubborn people that may go to this church, I ain't losing my soul over them, Lord. Take care of them. I'm going to make heaven my home. Lord, let me raise up some more. I don't care, but I'm going to make heaven my home. But Moses, a great man, I'm not taking away from his greatness. But at the same time, these people are the ones he called rebels, who the Lord had already called rebels. So he takes his rod, smites it twice, and out comes water abundantly. And the congregation drank, and they're like, thank God for that rod. Oh, that rod worked. It took two times this time. He must be losing his strength, you know. He had to hit it twice. But as long as you got that, see, it wasn't Moses and God's word. It was the rod. And the Lord said, Moses, I need to talk to you. Now, this ain't five verses down, two chapters. This is the next verse. Lord didn't waste any time in telling him. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron. It says, because you two guys, because ye believed me not, you did not take me at my word. So how can you lead them into the promised land if you don't take me at my word? You're not practicing what you preach. Are y'all still with me? Because you didn't believe me, you believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children, that at the word I gave to you, that water would come out. Now we're still on the rock. You're still on the milk. You still need a sign. How long have you been living for God? How long? And you still need a sign. I still need to fleece the Lord. I still don't know if that's... At some point, if you want to rise in the rapture day, you're going to have to take him at his word. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You will die with them. And so Moses dies in the wilderness, listen close, for unbelief. A hero of faith, but yet died from unbelief. Because he did not take God at his word. And so God has showed all of us signs. He showed, how many of you have never seen a sign from the Lord? You got up this morning. That's a good sign. He shows us signs, but I'm afraid if we're not careful, we get dependent upon the sign. Sooner or later, we got to take God's word for it. Centurion knew that. He knew that. He was a man of authority. He said, go, they go. Say, come, they come. He didn't have to say, no. Show me a sign and I'll go. Well, hey, you're in the army now, pal. If I say go, you go. If they come. You need to say, I'm in the army now. I don't need signs. I need a word. I'm in the army now. And so he comes to Jesus. And what's interesting, he comes on the behalf of a sick servant. This is a man of authority. But he's so compassionate that he loves his servants and he loves those people under him that he goes to Jesus and he says, hey, Master Jesus, he said, if you'll just speak the word only, then my servant will be made. He might be. If you will just speak the word only, I'll have it. I'll have exactly what I'm asking for. All I need is a word. I don't need a rod. I don't need a book. All I need is a word. Wow. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him, because that's what they all wanted him to do. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, no, I am not worthy. Whew. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I'm just an old Gentile guy. But if you could, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I will have it if you will speak it. I will believe it, and it shall be so. Because if I abide in you, and my word abide, and your words abide in me, I can ask what I will, and I shall have it. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, come tonight. You know, the man starts home without any hesitation, no investigation, no verification. Just speak the word. And he's headed home, and he's met with another servant. And, you know, normally you'd say, he died. Yes, not normally, he died. While you were over there, he died. But no. This guy gets there and says, Master, you won't believe it. But he's up. He's about. He's well. He's back in the army now. He's doing good. And he goes, he checks his clock. He said, what time did that happen with him? And he got up. He said, it was, let's just say 9:00. He said, what time was it that I asked the Lord to speak that? It was the same time. Woo, hallelujah. I got it now. And he took the Lord at his word only. And he got what he asked for. Woo, my God. One more. Jesus is fixing to leave. They still don't know who he is. They watched him raise the dead and heal the sick. They still really don't know who he is. So they're all gathered around, you know, and Philip says, he's talking about, I go to my father and I go. And Philip goes, hey, show us that guy, that father that you're talking about, and it'll suffice us. We'll shut up, but I'm tired of taking your word for it. He said, Philip, how long? How many signs have you seen? I'm asking you, how many signs you've seen? How many things you've seen me do, and I still got to show you? Are y'all with me over there on that? I still got to show you? Well, let me just say that he that seen me, seen the Father. Believest thou that? At some time, my brothers and sisters, you got to wean yourself off of the rod. Wean yourself off the signs. And just say, I heard from the Lord. And if he abides in you, don't you have him? Don't we claim, I got the Holy Ghost, I got the Lord. Okay? If we abide in him and his word abides, you know what that means? Lives. Lives. It's just like every day it lives in me. There's nobody knows my wife better than me. You know why? I live with her. Nobody knows Sister Johnson better than you. Nobody. Because you live with her. And ought to nobody know what God's telling you better than you knowing what God's telling you. I get a little weary. Somebody said, I got a word for you. Does his word live with you? Because if you're not living this thing, don't give me any word. You just confuse me. Because I'm going to live it. And if I live it, then I know it. Because every day I hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, I'm not kidding with you. Every day I hear the voice of the Lord. Somebody says, oh, well, it ain't this all. No, I hear it. See, once it hits them eardrums, it's here. The eardrums just gives it to where you can hear it here. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Your eardrums just let you hear it here. We don't need eardrums to hear the Lord. It's what Eli told Samuel. He said, I used to hear from the Lord. I don't hear him anymore. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, brother. Anybody got a word from the Lord? And he said, when the Lord speaks the next time, he said, just say, oh, give me a sign so I know what you... No, he said, just say, here am I. Here am I. Would you stand tonight? I know I've labored the point perhaps, but there may be one person in here that just needs to hear this. Just maybe one. And I'd ask, I know we've prayed for the sick. We've already done that. But, you know, maybe there would be one. Maybe that centurion is here tonight that would just come forth and say, I'm just going to believe the Lord. I'm not telling you to stop anything you're doing. I'm not telling you to tell the doctors they're crazy. I'm not telling you any of that. What I'm saying is when the Lord speaks to you, believe it and accept it at His word. Is there another centurion here that'll take the Lord at His word? Anybody else? I'm just going to take the Lord at His word. I don't need to ask anybody else. I don't need to ask my spouse or any. I'm just going to take the Lord at His word. Anybody? Anybody? As they sing tonight, Brother Buller, the Lord speaks to you, and you know He does. Hallelujah. And this time I wanted to speak to you again. Yes, Lord, yes, and that's what I want you to say is, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I accept it. It's mine and Your word, God. Hallelujah. When that centurion said, Lord, speak the word only, he said, no rod? No sign? How about a miracle? He said, no greater faith have I seen in all of Israel. It surpassed the woman that had the issue of blood. It surpassed Jairus, who said, come home with me. He just said, speak the word only. My brothers and sisters, you got to get there. I'm telling you, you got to get there. You've got to get to the place where you hear the voice of the Lord. You say, I ain't worrying about it no more. I'm not going to complain about it anymore. Paul heard the voice of the Lord and said, look, quit praying about that thing. I've already told you my grace is sufficient. Okay, no more. No more. I'm not praying about that anymore. I'm just going to count that a blessing from God because now His mantle, His anointing rests upon me. God doesn't answer all my prayers, but I trust Him. Amen. I trust Him. Yes. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Lord, I ask for the Holy Ghost to guide some folks here tonight. Everyone that walked down here tonight, they're a centurion. It's just they proclaimed tonight. They made the statement, God, that I'm going to take You at Your word. Hallelujah. No more signs. No more fleecing You. No more asking somebody else. I'm going to hear Your voice, and I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah. Help us all to get to that place. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Holy Ghost, rest upon us in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Don't forget to sign up for whatever you may want to bring. Brother Charlie needs some help. Don't forget that to do a few things. Amen. Greet our visitors. Invite them back. You're going to hear from the voice of the Lord. You may hear it on your way home. You may hear it tonight. But let me tell you, you need to live walking in the voice of the Lord. If the voice of the Lord talked to Adam, who didn't even have His spirit, how much more will the voice of the Lord talk to you? And when the Lord spoke to him, he knew the Lord was speaking to him. There wasn't no question. It was God. Get to that place. And you can in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Be careful going home.